There's a large industry out there, which in many ways is a Torah industry, but it's a complicated industry. That is the industry you go into Svarim stores, Torah and science. There are seeming tensions between HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah and scientific observation, even serious scientific observation. The simple reading of the Psukim of Parshas Bereishis, the age of the universe. Another example that people discuss, the Gedolei HaMasorah have dealt with them, is a case in which the Gemara tells us that if somebody kills a louse on Shabbos, then it's not considered chayiv as killing a living animal. And the Gemara explains because when it comes to lice, the Gemara seems to suggest that lice don't procreate. They're not considered like other living things. We now know today, based on scientific study, that lice do procreate. And Rav Neven Sal Shlita quotes from Rav Shlomo Zalman a brilliant solution to the question. And he quotes this, Rav Neven Sal quotes this in his Mishnah Berurah, Chazal kovu es halach lefi maris ha'ayin shekina lo pirya verivya. That Chazal, they defined procreation, what we could see with the naked eye. They weren't able to see the louse procreate, and therefore, halachically, it's not considered as if the louse procreates. And therefore, it would not be usur min haTorah to kill a louse on Shabbos. And Rav Neven Sal Shlita adds, v'lulei d'mistafina, that's going to be a very, very important word. And was it not that I was afraid, amina, I would say differently from my Rebbe, that we are not familiar with those lies that Chazal are speaking about. In this week's parasha, we have the Dor HaFlaga. The Dor HaFlaga builds a tower. It's very unclear. The Medrash itself points out it's not entirely clear from the Psukim what exactly was the sin of the Tower of Babel. And writes the Medrash Tanchuma an interesting approach. Amru, the people in Bavel said, Lo kol imenu shiyover loyal yoinim. It's not correct that God chose to be upstairs. V'yiten lanu tachtoinim. And he put us on the lower worlds. Nale l'rakia will go up to the heavens. V'nakeyu bikardumus. And we will attack it with axes. For those of us in Eretz Yisrael, that's a vivid, painful image right now. Leaving that aside, the Hargosha aside for a moment, what's the Medrash Tachuma describing? There are quite a few occasions that we've mentioned where Rav Elchanan Wasserman felt was the most important way to start the Musar lessons that he was going to leave to his Talmidim and future generations. Chazal understand the pasuk loisa suru achrei levavchem achrei einichem. You shouldn't follow after your hearts. And Chazal darshin achrei levavchem zo aminus. It's apikorsis, following heresy, denying God. Ask Rav Elchanan, why do Chazal choose the word levavchem to refer to apikorsis? If anything, I would say loisa suru achrei roshechem. Don't let your intellect be fooled. Our intellect is limited. And Rav Elchanan gave a famous yisod that we've discussed in the past, and that is that ultimately most heresy doesn't start from the intellect; it starts from the heart. It's because there's a person out there who wants to justify a behavior that's not consistent with what God wants, and therefore the apikorsis does not start up here; it starts with the heart. Rav Elchanan's yisod, looking back historically, was very appropriate to his generation. I'd like to copy in the derech of this gadol, but suggest that in our generation, the lave which leads to apikorsis is something else. And with this, we'll understand the avera of the Dor HaFlaga. In Sefer Dvarim, we learn v'ram levavicha. If your heart becomes haughty, v'shachachta, you'll forget HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. There are people out there that cannot accept that there are things that are above them to understand. And because they can't understand all of the world's mysteries, they go up and they try to slaughter God. Listen to words again of the Medrash. Amru lo kol haymenu sheyover lo el yonim. He's above, he's mysterious. V'yitel lanu tachtonim, we're below. Nale l'rakia v'nakeyu. So what we're going to do is destroy, attempt to destroy that reality. Of course, God always wins. Rav Soloveitchik described most beautifully in Uvikashta Misham what I think is the most important message that we could send off a Talmud going to university, but not only someone who's going to study science, but for that matter, every single Ben Torah in his Avodas Hashem. Bear with me for 2 minutes to read the beautiful words of the Rav. God reveals himself to his creation, but also eludes it. He is close to us, and the splendor of his majesty breaks forth from every blossoming lily and every ray of light. And the Rav then begins to describe so beautifully, page 22 of Vikashta Misham, the beauty of nature. The beating of the heart and the rhythmic movements of breathing from the tumult of the masses and the loneliness of the individual, from the joy of youth and the melancholy of old age. But despite his closeness to us, he is boundlessly far from us. He wraps himself in a cloud and retires to the recesses of eternity. He lives here with us and also at the edges of infinity. Now we see him, and in a moment he rises above us. The halacha knows of the Shekhinah revealed, but also of the Shekhinah removed. At a time when theologians believed in man's ability to find God within creation, Judaism was not sure of this. According to the Jewish view, man cannot be redeemed from his pollution and contamination or find his happiness and purpose by coming close to God through creation alone, or in other terms, in understanding him in science. Another sort of approach is necessary, an approach through an act of faith, emuna. Rashi alludes to this right in the beginning of the Torah. For those who are obsessed in reconciling how Bereshis fits with a conception of the world, the way scientists understand it, Rashi basically tells us, don't try looking at Bereshis. Aside from the fact that Chazal also said that you're not allowed to learn Maisa Bereshis, Barabim, and only Yechidei Skula could really understand Maisa Bereshis. But Rashi points out in the Psukim themselves, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling us the order of creation, Hayolo Lichtov, instead of writing Bereshis, it should have said Barishona Baretz HaShemayim. Says Rashi, V'loi Ba Mikra Lahoyre Seder Abriya. Bereshis is not about a manual of how God created the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses entirely different terms than the scientific terms. And therefore, it stems from hubris for man to do one of two things. Number one, it's haughty for man to try to explain everything away and claim that he's going to understand every part of the universe. There is Elyonim. And number two, it's hubris if he's going to try to take the mysterious psukim of Bereshis Bara Elokim and try to show, based on his limited intellect, that he understands everything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu desired that there be mystery. That's part of our relationship with him. That's part of the beauty of our relationship with Kodesh Baruch Hu. My daughter told me a joke. She said there was once a fellow who was very wealthy, who had no children, who decided that he wanted to give his wealth away from someone who had strong perseverance. The individual had to climb 100 flights of stairs. Every single flight, they'd be given a joke. They'd have to read the joke. If they laughed, that was that. They were out of the competition. They had to go through 100 flights of stairs. Once they reached the 100th stair without laughing at a single joke, they win the prize, $10 million. First guy goes up, first flight of stairs, bang, he's out. Bursts out laughing. couple guys make it the second and third. One guy's making it all the way up to the 10th. Bursts out at the 10th. No one could get very far. Most, after 70, 80 people went, someone got up to the 20th floor. Yet there's one guy, he's climbing up, reads the joke, 25th floor, straight face, makes it all the way up. 70, 80, reaching every flight of stairs, reading the joke, nothing happened. Gets to the 98th flight, he opens the joke, and he bursts out laughing. He comes down, the guys say to him, "You did it for 98 flights, just two more. How come you couldn't hold back?" He said, "I just got the first joke." Life has a part to it where sometimes it's helpful for a person to realize that they'll only understand and appreciate if they're able to keep their focus until they reach the top. Sometimes there are many other things that could be very, very distracting along the way, that could be deceiving. You could think that you're having a good time, that an intellectual good time, that you're understanding, and really it's ultimately preventing you from having the true understanding, which we will only have if we make ourselves individuals who are true Ovdei Hashem. And the definition of an Oved Hashem is someone who's humble enough to realize that he's not going to understand everything on his own. Who is the ultimate intellect of Yeshiva University in the last 60 years? The giant, Rav Soloveitchik. Rav Shechter wrote a tshuva last year about women wearing tefillin. He quoted another one of my rabbeim who I was very close with, Rabbi Braunspiegel. He wrote, "V'shamati miyedid nafshi," an amazing story with the Rav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should send Rabbi Braunspiegel refuah shleima. Rabbi Braunspiegel was a close Talmud of Soloveitchik, and in the story, he was with the Rav. This has got to be going back 60 years. He was with the Rav in the Rav's mother's house. Rav Moshe Soloveitchik's Rebbetzin, his almana, lived quite a few years. Rav Moshe Soloveitchik passed away, if I'm not mistaken, in 1941. Quite a few years afterwards, she lived in Washington Heights. And the Rav, when he would come to teach in YU, of course, he would visit his mother's house. Rabbi Braunspiegel went with the Rav, and they were in his mother's house, and someone came in and asked a shayla. The Rav answered the shayla. 2 minutes later, Rav Soloveitchik continued talking with Rav Braunspiegel, and then his mother came out of the kitchen, and she said, "Beryl," that's how they referred to the Rav, said, "Beryl, I heard what you said to that shohel. Your father would have answered differently." Right, Braunspiegel described the Rav jumped up. He ran out of the apartment, out onto some street in Washington Heights, and he grabbed the fellow and said, "My mother said that my father would have said something different, and I'm chozer on everything I said." So Rav Shechter pointed out that for everything in Yadus, we have a Mesorah. And all of a sudden now, for hundreds and thousands of years, women didn't wear tefillin, with a few exceptions. And all of a sudden now, we're going to come along and change everything. Where's the Anava? Where's the humility to the Mesorah? Rabosai, every once in a while, we are guilty of trying to figure everything out and not having the humility towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu or towards the Chachmei HaMesorah. It goes deeper than that. When I'm talking about that challenge of humility to science, humility vis-a-vis science and Torah, both, there is an entirely different component of the way in which Torah works versus science. I mentioned in the past that the way in which Torah is taught is through shmiah, is through listening. Science is achieved through observation, through empirical study. A man watches, he learns, and he formulates theories. The Nazir points out that Greece is all about Reb David HaKohen, who we mentioned in the past, Talmud Reb Yitzchak HaKohen Kuk. He points out that the way in which man understands the world from the perspective of Greece, which has its value, Yafyefusa shel yefes, is through sight. Yofi, beauty, is something that a person sees. But at the end of the day, we believe that truth is passed down, Torah is passed down, even though, of course, there's empirical facts as well, but Torah is passed down through Shmia. Our statement of Emunah is Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Gemara is about Amoroyim, Maimar, Amira. HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates the world through Ma'amarim. So that means that there are two different disciplines. Both of them are part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's beautiful world, but they don't always fit together, and that's all part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mystery, and part of our humility is a necessity for us to accept that as despite the fact there is a mitzvah to develop the world, the mystery of the worlds, those will always be beyond us. As much as scientists are going to understand, ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu will always pull himself back. And the core flaw is trusting our own intellect based on empirical study. When I was discussing this with one of my Talmidim when they were at my house for Shabbos, I have a Talmud, Reb Avram Solomons. His wife, Libby Solomons, pointed out very, very sharply that that is exactly the simple pshat of how the Nachash tries to sell the Eitz Hadas to Chava. Ki yodea Elohim, ki biyom acholchem mimenu v'nifkichu einechem v'yisem keloim yodei tov v'ra. Even if man doesn't want to destroy, as the Avera of the Dor, Haflaga, destroy the lines between him and God, to erase that idea that there is Elyonim, but man also has a Yetzirah in which he wants to understand, he wants to know everything. And that Yetzirah is so powerful, so powerful, to the point that we violate the one commandment that God had given us before. Because man has this desire to want and to know everything. Of course, it's a facade. Kol Arisha Kula Keshen Tichle. All wickedness is really just smoke and screens, just mirrors. And ultimately they eat, the one thing they realize is that they're naked. Great. That's all. But at the end of the day, that Yetzirah to know everything, Talmidim who are 19 years old, already hacking about the Derech HaLimud of this Magid Shir and that Magid Shir, they don't know anything. How long have you been sitting and learning for? In other words, this chisaron of anava, of humility, vis-a-vis kudsha brichu, permeates a challenge for every single one of us in all parts of our lives. Hashem desires that mystery. I mentioned in the last 10-minute Musar, and with this I conclude, that the manager of Nativ Aryeh was attacked at Lion's Gate, described the miracle of how he escaped. It was a big Talmud Chacham who had Chidushi Torah that he constantly writes. He had his computer and he whacked the terrorist murderer over her head many, many, many times. And ultimately, the Daniel Rosenfeld picked himself up and he shot her. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should continue to protect us. She didn't follow the terrorist manual. I hope there's no terrorist watching this, that she's an Amma Aretz. She didn't even listen to her Rabbeim. They say you're supposed to stab over here or over here. Baruch Hashem, she did on top, she did in the back. Baruch Hashem, he's fine now. The Rosh Yeshiva of Nativ Aryeh, Rav Aaron Bina, when he saw Daniel Rosenfeld, I spoke with Daniel afterwards. He used an expression that he uses in many contexts, which is so important. It's an expression of an Oved Hashem. And that is, the older we get, he said to him, the more and more we realize how little we know. He concluded in Hebrew, Ma anachnu yodim. A person could grow in Torah. A person could encounter the beauties of science. They can do a tremendous amount in using the depth of science to save lives, to understand so much about God's beautiful and mysterious world. But at the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will always recede into mystery. Let's not make the mistake of the Dor HaFlaga. How ridiculous are the words of the Tanchuma sound. Lo kol eimenu sheyover lo yel yoinim v'yitin lo tachtonim. Heh! He wants to separate himself from us and make himself inaccessible. We'll go up. We'll show that we can understand that, to destroy that myth of God. Rabbosai, let's work on our humility to appreciate the beauties of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world, but ultimately to know our place. Ma be'emet anachnu yodim. With that, we can know a tremendous amount. We can be mekadeshim shemayim. We could develop God's beautiful world, and we could be true of the Hashem.